Blog Talk Radio.
It's Wednesday, May 20th, 2015, and this is a special edition of God Thoughts Radio. This is show number 7.
The age of delusion is here. The great falling away has begun. False teachers and false gospels are everywhere. The angel of light has become so visible in today's apostate church that even false Bibles have made their way into mainstream Christianity. The Bible warns that on Judgment Day, Jesus will say to the many, "I never knew you." This program exists to make sure that when Jesus says that, he's not talking to you.
God Thoughts Radio is on the air. I'm Pastor Brad. I want to talk to you for the next few moments about the role of obedience in the life of a Christian. There's an awful lot of delusion in the church today that somehow separates Jesus the Savior from Jesus as Lord and the Jesus that we receive by grace through faith, and that is not a result of works. And yet this role of obedience is so crystal clear in the scripture. So I want to jump right to it. I pray and I trust that you've got your Bible in one hand and a notebook in the other. I want to just expose you to the reality of what Jesus taught and what the scriptures teach about the role of obedience and salvation. Let's jump right in. John 3:36 says this very clearly. "He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see the life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Now, please notice that in this verse, John 3:36, the Word of God equates obedience with belief. It approaches this subject of belief as being synonymous with belief in Jesus. And please also note that it says that the one who does not obey the Son will not see the life, that is eternal life, but the wrath of God abides in him. So if all we had were this one verse, we would be able to see clearly that obedience is synonymous with belief, and disobedience is synonymous with the wrath of God. So let's continue to take a look at scripture and see if that is indeed what the Bible really teaches. We go to Acts 5:32 and we find, "And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So please note that once again we see that for the Christian, the one who has the Holy Spirit, in this verse, who does God give his Holy Spirit to? That's right, the one who obeys him. And again, please note that the Holy Spirit is not given to those who disobey him. And then we move on to Romans chapter 1, verse 5, which says this amazing statement. It says, "We have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among the Gentiles for his name's sake." Wow, let's pause and be reminded of what Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says. "For by grace," the same grace that Romans 1, 5 is talking about here, "for by grace we have been saved." How? "Through faith. That not as a result of works, lest any man should boast." And here we see what is the purpose. What happens to someone who professes saving faith? It says right here that we've received that grace to bring about the obedience of faith. My goodness, saving faith is not built on works, and yet the faith that saves is the faith that obeys. It's what Romans 1:5 is clearly teaching. And I love the fact that that's in the first chapter of Romans. We find it again in the last chapter of Romans. I'm taking you to chapter 16, verse 26. "Picking up by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the eternal God, has been made known to all nations, leading to the obedience of faith." Again, obedience does not save us, but the real faith that saves us will always result in obedience. Not in perfection. That's why Jesus died, but in willingness. Again, be reminded, Matthew 7:21 is so important in this age of delusion. "Not everyone," Jesus said, "who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." That is a trademark of the true Christian. They have traded in their will for the will of God, and only those who do the will of God go to heaven. I want to make note of one other scripture in the positive, Hebrews 5:9. It says this, and having been made perfect, he became, that is Jesus, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Oh, how I desperately want you to see the connection between obedience and saving faith. Again, I'm not saying that obedience saves us. What I am saying is what Jesus said. He said, you'll know them by their fruit. And the fruit of a real Christian is ever-increasing obedience, the commitment to God's will rather than to man's. And there are several Bible verses that talk about this same issue in the negative. Let me, just a few of them, Romans 2:8. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation to those who are disobedient. Ephesians 2:2, scary stuff, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. In a very real sense, you can describe the difference between Christians, true Christians, not just professing Christians, and those who are not Christians, by the role that obedience to God and his word play in their lives. Ephesians 5:6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Keep in mind here that we're in the New Testament. We're talking about the new covenant and the reality that the wrath of God is still in existence for all those who reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In fact, again, Hebrews 10:26-27 tells it clearly that for those who reject Jesus, there no longer remains a sacrifice for their sins, but only the terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of the fire that will consume the adversaries. Colossians 3:6, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon who? Upon the sons of disobedience. Let me take you to 2 Thessalonians 3:14, which says, if anyone does not obey our instruction, a reference to the word of God here, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he will be put to shame. My goodness, this issue of obedience is so significant to God. It is another aspect of the truth that separates us. Truth from falsehood. Those who profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, as opposed to those who truly not only profess to know God, but by their deeds confirm their relationship with God. And make one other note, please. There in Titus 1:6, the same issue pops up again. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. Let's please dispel. I have prayed that the Holy Spirit will open the eyes of your understanding here. Let's dispel the connection between obedience and works. Listen, obedience is not a work. It's a choice to submit to the will of God. And as Jesus so clearly taught, the will of God is what separates those who are truly Christians, what separates those who know him, and also those that he knows, from those who will be eternally lost. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. For many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness. Those who may profess to know God, but in actuality, they live for their own will. They look Jesus in the eye and they say, despite the fact that they may confess him as Lord and Savior, they say, not your will, but mine be done. I'm telling you that this issue of obedience is a significant issue of the fruit of true Christianity. Jesus said, you will know them by the fruit. I'm telling you, obedience is not a work. It's a choice, and it's a choice that will determine your eternal destiny. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear, and he who refuses, let him refuse. Oh, God, again today, take whatever has been of you and watch over your word and perform it. Cause the voice of your authority to be heard, to be realized, to be manifest in every listener. And I lay claim further to your word from Isaiah 55:11 that says, my word, when it goes forth, will not return void without accomplishing the purpose that I set for it. In Jesus' name, I agree. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today at God Thoughts Radio. For more information about Pastor Brad and God Thoughts, go to GodThoughtsGlobal.com, where you'll also find archives from all of our past shows. Pastor Brad would love to speak at your church. You can contact him via email at GodThoughtsWired@gmail.com or connect with him on LinkedIn at Dr. Brad Righteous. Until next time, thanks for listening.